Today's shiur in Maseches Vava Basra will be beginning from the top of Kuf Nun Omed Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Our Gemara today will be picking up in the middle of a discussion that was started on Daf Kuf Mem Tes Omid Beis. In our Mishnah, we had seen that a Matnas Shchiv Meira will go through, even if the Shchiv Meira gets better, in the event that the Shchiv Meira withheld some of his property. The Mishnah refers to this by the expression Shir Karka Kol Shehu Matonoso Kayemes. In the Gemara last time, we saw a couple of Rabbonim presenting the idea that the expression Karka and the expression Kol Shehu were not to be taken literally. Rav Yosef presented an opposing idea that when you see the expression in a Mishnah referring to Karka, it is to be taken literally. And if you see the expression Kol Shehu in a Mishnah, it likewise is to be taken literally. We saw Abaye offer a Tanaic source as evidence contrary to Rav Yosef's position, where we saw the term Karka used. And we saw that even though the word karka appeared in the Mishnah, we were to understand that metatalin would be true as well. And that involved the case of a person assigning all of his property to his eved and withholding a piece of karka. It was explained at the top of Kuf Nun Omed Aleph that the term withholding karka is not to be taken literally, but rather he is withholding metatalin. In other words, the withholding of portables, of a kol shehu of portables, that would constitute the withholding of the eved. So that even though the Tanaic source used the word karka, we are to understand that the source is referring to metatalin. Rav Yosef will now respond. And that we see, as is indicated by the inverted crown form. The positioning of this crown form was the subject of our introductory remarks during our previous shiur. So we will assume that one is familiar already with our introductory information from the previous shiur and continue with the Gemara here. Third line from the top, where you see the geometric form involving the inverted crown form, namely the points pointing downwards, represents Rav Yosef's response to Abaye's point. Hossam, in the case of Kosev Kol Nechosov Liavdo, in the case that was referred to by the previous Tanaic source, Bedin Hu Delo Lisni Karka. In fact, the word Karka should not have even appeared. Technically speaking, it would have been more accurate to use the word Shir Metatalin instead of the word Karka. One who has his Gemara open or has the ability to scroll back to Kuf Mem Tes Omid Beis can see the exact term that we're referring to by quickly referencing the dashed underlined expression Karka 4 lines from the bottom over there. So the Gemara, Rav Yosef is telling us here that really in that particular Mishnah, the Tanaic source that was quoted, the word Metatalin should have been used. So why did the Mishnah use the word karka? Very simply, out of stylistic considerations, simply because the resha of that Mishnah found in Maseches Peah gave us a list of rules concerning karka, and in the resha, the word karka, meaning land, had to be used. So in continuing in the spirit of the resha, the Sefa used the word karka as well, when in fact the word metatalin should have been used. This being an exceptional case, in other words, we're accounting for the word karka here simply because of structural considerations. But In general, when you see the word karka, says Rav Yosef, you should take it literally. So now we see this inside the Gemara. As Rav Yosef said, Hosam bedinhu delo lisni karka. In truth, the Mishnah in the Sefa should not have used the word karka, namely the section of the Mishnah dealing with kosev kol nechosev liavdo. V'aydi detona resha, but since the resha of that Mishnah in Maseches Peah used the word karka, and the Gemara will now quote the resha section. If you skip to the point right after the framed section, our marking edition, and our marked Gemara represents Tanaic sources. But if you skip momentarily right after it, it says, Mishum hachi kotoni karka, and that's why in the other section of the Mishnah the word karka was used. Once again, that since in the Resha the word karka was used, and it had to be used over there, so too in the other section of the Mishnah the word karka was used. But as we said before, that we would call a stylistic consideration. The Gemara continues. V'aydi detona Resha, and since the Resha said the following, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva teaches that karka kol shehu chayeves bepeah ubabikurim. We see here a list of halachas that apply to karka, and in this case it refers specifically to karka, namely that even a small amount of land is chayev in the peah tithe, the bikurim, first fruits that have to be offered from that karka kol shehu. A third halacha, v'lichtoiv alehem prusbol. This is halacha concerning the enabling of a lender to collect his debts after the Shemitah year. V'liknois imohem nechosim she'ein lohem achrayis. And a karka kolshu, this being a fourth halacha, a karka kolshu would enable a person to acquire, together with the acquisition of a karka kolshu, he would be able to acquire nechosim she'ein lehem achrayis, which is a code term for portables. And this being when the act of acquisition made on the land is done through bekesef, ubeshtar, ubechazoka. We are deliberately not going to get into the details of this particular source. It's not the focus of our discussion. We're bringing it in only to show you that since it uses the word karka, which we've dashed underlined, mishum hachi kotoni karka, therefore, in the case of kosev kol nechosev liavdo, the same source used the word karka when it said shir karka kolshu on the previous omid kuf mem tes omid beis. But that's the only reason that the word karka appears there. Technically, as we said before, the word metatalin should have been used. But, in general, where you don't have this stylistic issue at hand, and the Mishnah decides to use the word karka, Rav Yosef tells you, take it literally. Abaye now addresses the other point that bothered Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, on Kuf Mem Tes Amud Beis, that the Mishnah uses the term kol shehu, as opposed to what was suggested above by Rav Yehuda and Rav Yirmiyah on Kuf Mem Tes Amud Beis at the top. We have noted them with Aleph and Beis, where they used the idea that which the Shchiv Meira must retain in order to guarantee the Matona standing, he'd have to retain for himself Kedei Parnasoso. Rav Yosef said, how can you say Kedei Parnasoso, which is a significant amount of money, when the Mishnah says, even if he, the Shchiv Meira, retains a Kol Shehu, that's enough. And Kol Shehu, Rav Yosef claims, should be taken literally. Here, Abaye objects to that. We have noted in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, Abaye's name in a crown marking as well, with a vertical dashed line following that marking, indicating that all of the lines that are opposite this dashed line are part of Abaye's discussion. So the Gemara continues, V'chol heicho detani kol shehu, and where Mishnayos use the term kol shehu, less leishiro, does it not have a substantial amount? Namely, as opposed to kol shehu, which implies literally any amount, even any minuscule amount, Abaye says, no, when you see the term kol shehu in Tanaic sources, it doesn't necessarily mean a minuscule amount, but could have an actual size, an actual amount that's attached to it. V'hotnan, and Abaye continues and says, we have a source that deals with one of the tithes that a Kohen receives. This is a tithe that comes from the shearings that one shears from his sheep, the wool tithe, we can call it. And it's called Reishis Hagez. There are different opinions that are featured in this particular source concerning how much must be shorn in order for the Kohen to receive something. The details of the halachas of Reishis Hagez are not the focus of our discussion now, so we will continue with the attempt to emphasize that which is central to our discussion. In the markings, you can already notice, you have a Tanaic source here. At the end of this particular source, Tanaic sources in our marking system are featured by frames around those lines that are part of the Tanaic source that enables the learner to set it off from the rest of the Amoraic, from the rest of the Gemara material. You see at the end of this particular Tanaic source, the expression that's dashed, underlined, you see Kol Shehein. Kol Shehein is the expression under discussion right now. The Gemara will point out right after the source and says, V'amrinon, and we point out, V'kama Kol Shehein. You notice that appears right after the source, and the Gemara is asking, how much is a Kol Shehein? And to that, Rav will respond, there's a certain amount called Mono Pras. But what's important for us to see is that even though the Tanaic source uses the word Kol Shehein, which Rav Yosef meant you should take literally meaning any amount, any small amount, that in fact is not the case, as is explained by Rav in interpreting that particular source, where Kol Shehein is assigned with an actual amount, not any amount. This would thereby constitute an objection to what Rav Yosef wanted to maintain. We continue with the Gemara itself. V'kol hecha detani kol shehu. We're reading from the point that you see Abaye and the crown form with the points facing up, where Abaye raises his objection and says, and wherever you find the expression kol shehu, less lay shiur, is it so that it does not have an actual shiur v'hotanan? We have the following Tanaic source, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus Omer, chomesh recheilois, goizizois, mona upras, mono upras. If you have five sheep, if a man owns five or more sheep, from which an amount that's referred to monopras, it's a certain quantity of wool, if that's what he is able to shear from his sheep, so chayavos bereishis hagez, that's an amount from which one must offer a tithe to the kohen. V'chachomim omrim, chamesh recheilois, goizizois, kol shehein. The chomim offer a much smaller shear, meaning five sheep, from which one shears a kol shehein amount. The amrinon v'kama kol shehein, and we inquire how much is a kol shehein. Amarav mona upras ubavach yu mechumoshois, that when one shears wool from five sheep, the total amount comes out to a mona upras, provided that the mono upras shearings are divided equally into fifths. Now, because we're dealing with five sheep, a fifth of a mona upras is shorn from each sheep. For our purposes, though, without getting involved with the details of these quantities of wool, what's important for us to see is that the term kol shehein appears in a Tanaic source, and the Gemara does not understand that to mean literally any amount, but rather assigns to it an amount, in this case, mona upras. This, of course, is counter to Rav Yosef's claim that kol shehein means any amount. Rav Yosef responds, and you can see that that's indicated by the inverting of the geometric form, the crown marking, with the point facing down, indicating Rav Yosef responds, or in this case, Rav Yosef refutes the objection that was raised against him. He says, Hosam, in the case of the shearings, bedinhu delolisni kol shehu. Technically, the term kol shehu should not have been used. So why was it used there? The ID dekaomar Tanakama shiur rabba, since the Tanakama suggested a large quantity, a very large quantity of wool to be shorn in order to constitute grounds for the tithe, the reishis hagez, being presented to the kohen. Omar ihunami, the chachomim, the second opinion in that source, also presented his shiur, Shiura Zutra Kari La Kolshu. He presents a smaller shiur and refers to his smaller shiur by the term Kolshu, a convenient expression when appearing in contrast to something very large. However, that is only because the term Kolshu is appearing in the context of a much larger shiur. And only because of that, we can say here that the term Kolshu doesn't mean literally any amount. It simply means a smaller amount than the amount featured before. However, in the case of our Mishnah, says Rav Yosef, where there was no alternative amount being presented, and yet the term Kolshu appeared, one should take the term Kolshu literally. At this point, we continue with a new discussion. We can take advantage of our topic and structural heading in the outside margin to see what we're going to be encountering. If you glance ahead in the Gemara text itself, you'll notice the appearance of a double underline. The double underline is one of our series markings. Hence, in the outside margin, we featured that, and we've explained, Lishoines Shel Metatalin. Different uses of the term metatalin and different constructions, if you will, and Uma Mashmusan, and what's implied by the use of the word metatalin in each particular case. We've numbered off the examples as well, so that at a glance you can see, in addition to the appearance of the word metatalin in a series form, we're going to see three examples as well. The Gemara continues. Pshita, it's very obvious, Omar metataloi leplanya, if a person says, I want to give my metatali to so-and-so, kol moni tashmishte koni, the articles that a person owns, the vessels, articles that he owns, will be thereby acquired by the assigned individual, labar michiti usori, with the exception of wheat and barley. In other words, the term metatali does not include wheat and barley, even though they are also portable, nevertheless, that's not what's implied. However, if a person uses the expression kol metatali leplanya, if a person says that, I'm giving all of my metatalin to so-and-so, then afilu chiti visari, vafilu rechayim ho'elyona kona, labar me rechayim hatachtona. He intends to transfer all of his vessels, his portables, wheat and barley as well, and the upper part of a grindstone as well is included. But, however, labar mi rechayim hatachtona, with the exception of the lower part of his grindstone, that he does not intend to transfer. The lower part of a grindstone is, generally speaking, fixed in its place. If, however, another expression is used, kol demetalteil, anything that could be moved, if so desired, I want to give to so-and-so, then afilu rechayim hatachtona koni, then even the lower part of the grindstone, the lower half, the lower section, is transferred. The Rashbam explains, kol demetalteil, kol shiyachulim letaltelo, anything that could be moved, potentially, she'eno mechuber lekarka mamash, it's not literally attached to the ground, v'afalpi she'en regilin letatal, even though it, ordinarily speaking, it's not moved from place to place. That type of thing would be included in kol demetatel, that which is not usually moved, but could be moved, and that would be a reference to the lower part of the grindstone. In light of our discussing the term and the implication of the word metatali, this leads us into a new question. Ibayalaho, avdo kimikarko, o kimetatala domi. When talking about an evid, in terms of the common use of man, we're not talking about halachic definitions in this particular sugya, because as far as halachic definitions are concerned, the Mefarshim point out that Eved Hukish Lakarka, based on the fact that the Torah refers to Avodim by the term Vehisnachaltem. Hisnachaltem is a reference, generally speaking, to landed property. And it uses that term with regard to Avodim. So as far as the Torah is concerned, Eved Hukish Lakarka. However, in terms of common speech, when people use the term metatali, do they intend to include avodim or not? Before we go on in the Gemara, let us glance at the topic heading we've provided in the outside margin under the heading Nosei. Hayim eved nechshav kemetatalin legabi lishna debnei odom. When people speak, are avodim included in the term metatalin? Kagon, mi shomashu mocher metatalin. For example, someone who says, I intend to sell my metatalin. De legabi dinim de reisa eved nechshav kekarka. As far as Torah law is concerned, Eved is considered, a slave is considered karka. Ayin Rashbam, Dibur Masli Bailaho. The Gemara, the Rashbam presents that particular point of information in his commentary. The Tosfos as well says the same thing, that when it comes to Inyonim Doraisa, it's obvious to us that Eved is Hukish Lekarka. Our question, though, is focused on common use. When people use the term metatalin, are avodim included in that expression or not? As we go on in the Gemara, you will notice the appearance of a geometric form. As we've pointed out time and time again, those who are familiar with our marking system, the geometric forms represent a series of something, something of a repetitive nature, and often we use the geometric form to enable one to follow a back and forth discussion to keep track of the position that's being taken by that point in the Gemara. In this case, we have a triangle being featured, which at the same time represents a series marking, and in this case, not only that, but it also is part of a keep track approach. This is indicated in our top, in our structural heading, entitled Mivneh. You see in the outside margin a triangle form featured, and we have in parentheses the expression Ma'akav. Ma'akav means to keep track. With the point facing up, Hoichochois, proofs she'eved nechshav metatalin, that an eved is considered a portable in common speech. And with the point facing down, we will reject that attempted proof. This back and forth with the use of the triangles will continue to the very top of Amud Beis. The question therefore was raised, and we've actually dashed, underlined the main point so that one can keep focus as he goes on in the sukya. We've dashed, underlined the point that said, Avdo kemekarko o kemetatale domi. We continue in the Gemara on the third wide line. Omar le Rav Acha braid Rav Avyo le Rav Ashi. Toshma. Let us come in here a proof or an attempt to resolve the question. What we've done with our markings is we have a Tanaic source that's contained within the framed section. This represents a Tanaic source, as we've described earlier. In the source, we've dashed underlined a few expressions. One of the expressions is the term avodim. And as far as the discussion is concerned, the Gemara will point out after the source, you can see featured with a squiggle underline the expressions e'amris bishlamo, elo e'amris, one under the other. Meaning, if you say one particular direction, and in this particular case, it will be, if you say that the Eved is considered metatali, then we will understand this source. If, however, you say that the Eved is considered karka, then the source will be hard to understand. So even without dealing with the Gemara text yet, just by a bird's eye view, you can see the direction that things are taking. So with the triangle pointing up, we're going to be trying to prove in the direction that Eved is considered, in common speech, is considered metatali, not karka. After we finish that toshma section, this is indicated in the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You notice a toshma that's abbreviated with a triangle around it and a dashed vertical line that follows. That means that all of the lines that are parallel to this dashed line in the Gemara are part of the proof. When you get to the last line of this, you notice toward the end of the line, the triangle flips over. At that point, the Gemara will have a rebuttal. So now we continue. Toshma, hamochir esoir, one who is selling a city. A person had owned a city, and he's selling the city. What is included in the sale of a city? So we've noted with an aleph one particular scenario and result, and there's a base that appears at the end of the next line where the language of sale is changed. So we have two examples, two cases of sales. So the first one is, what is included when one sells a city? So we say, mochar, there is included, botim, houses, shichinu ma'oros, different types of pits, umer chotzos, bathhouses, ubeis habadon, beis hashlochin. These are, you have beis habadon are presses, like olive presses, beis hashlochin, irrigation fields, avol lo es hametaltalin, but not portables. Portables are not included. Ubizman, a second example, Ubizman Shomar, he v'chol ma'ashe v'socha. For persons, I'm selling you the city and everything contained therein. Afilu hayu ba behema oy avodim hare kulon mechurin. That even if in that particular city there is cattle or slaves, they're all included in the sale. So we can see from here, the sale of avodim is not understood automatically. In other words, in a standard case of a sale of a city, we see that landed things are included, as we saw in example Aleph, but slaves were not included. The Gemara continues, E amris bishlama kemetata ladami. We've included in our write-in Evet, just to remind you that that's the discussion. If you say that an Evet is considered mitatali, then mishum hachi lo mizdavin bereisha. There I can understand why in the first section of this source, namely the Aleph section, where a person was selling a city, avodim were not included, because we said that only things that are attached to the ground are included, and we said very clearly, lo es hametatalin. And therefore I understood very well why avodim are not included, because they are considered metatalin. Elo I amris, that an evet is kimekarka domi, that an evet is considered like landed property, almai lo mizdavin. Why was he not included in the sale of the city? Namely, in the opening example, why was evet not included in the sale? And so at this point, we are arguing in favor of the position that evet equals metatalin. The Gemara now refutes this. The Elomai kemetata ladomi. You want to insist that an evet is metatali. If that be the case, my afilu. Why in the second section of this source, and we've also dashed underlined that expression, as you can see three lines up, why is the word afilu being used? The word afilu implies some kind of extraordinary chiddush. Elomai yisloch lememar. You who want to consider evet like metatali, what do you have to say to account for the word afilu? Shaini metatale denayed, mi metatale delo nayed. You would have to say that a distinction is made between different types of metatalin. Namely, shiny, we make a distinction between metatale denayed. Metatale means portables that have inherent locomotion, that move on their own, as opposed to metatale that don't move on their own. So one would say like this, that if you want to take the position that an evet is metatali, at first glance, the simpler metatali to be included in the sale of a city would be inanimate type of metatalin, dormant metatalin, that don't have inherent locomotion. If you want to include those type of metatalin portables that have inherent locomotion, animate objects like behema and avodim. So then you refer to that by the term afilu, that even those are included in the deal. Well, once you get into this type of distinction, I could tell you afilu tema kimekarka domi. I could even say that the evet is considered mekarka, is considered landed property, and then you will ask, so then why in the ratio of this source was it not included? I will answer why they were not included. Shiny mekarka denayed, mi mekarka delo nayed. I will also draw a distinction between landed property that has inherent locomotion, which is not included, from the case of landed property that does not have inherent locomotion, meaning literal land. Therefore, where you see the term karka used, stam karka, it could very well be that an evid is included. Omale Ravino the Ravashi, Toshma. We have a new proof to decide the question of evet, is he considered karka or metatali. We've also indicated the length of this particular proof by the note, the form, the marking that we have in the space immediately to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. Once again, you see a toshma with a triangle around it and a vertical dashed line. That means all of these lines are part of this particular toshma. Once again, using the markings and using the bird's eye view approach, you can see that we've dashed underlined the expression second line from the bottom, avdo metaltaluhu. If that be the case, then you can see the direction things are taking, and in fact, the fact that this source open, this discussion opens up with a triangle with a point facing up, we know, like we saw previously, that that's the direction things are taking, that an eved is considered metaltalin. The source that we will be introducing now is actually review for many of you, those who learned the previous Omid Kuf Mem Tes Omid Beis, have seen this source already. So Ravina says to Ravashi, Toshma, HaKosev Kol Nechosov Li'avdoi, Yetze Ben Chorin, one who assigns all of his property to a slave, the slave thereby goes free, because part of a man's property is the slave himself. Shir Karka Kol Shehu Lo Yetze Ben Chorin. If, however, the owner withholds from himself a small piece of karka, the slave does not go free, because according to this opinion, a slave is hukish lekarka, and as such, when he withholds for himself a karka kolshu, he might in fact be withholding the slave for himself, remaining an owned slave, and hence does not go free. Rabbi Shimon Omer Olam Hu Ben Chorin, that even if there is shir karka kolshu, the slave will go free, because according to Rabbi Shimon, a slave is not included in land, and therefore the owner here withheld land, not the slave. Ad Shiomar, unless the owner says, Kol nechosai nesunim leploni avdi, chutz me'echad me'ribo shebohen, unless a person says, I'm giving everything to my slave except for 1/10,000th of my holdings. Who is the 1/10,000th? What is the 1/10,000th of those holdings? It may very well be the Eved himself. V'omar avdimi bar Yosef, omar abalozer, osu metatalin shiur etzel eved, v'lo osu metatalin shiur etzel ksuba. The Rashbam, as you can see, is featured by a double asterisk toward the lower part of the page. Osu metatali shiur dechihechi de katani shiur karka kol shehu lo yetze lecherus. Just like the source teaches, if the owner withholds for himself karka kol shehu, the Tanakhama says he does not go free. Hachinami im shiur metatali kol shehu lo yetze lecherus. By the same token, if the owner withholds portables, a kol shehu, a small amount of portables, the slave likely will not go free. The Gemara continues, V'omar le Rovaler of Nachman, my taima. And why is that? Why is it that if he withholds the metatalin, does the Eved not go free? The answer to that is, Avdo metatali hu. The Eved is considered a portable. U'metatala limetatala havi shiur. Portables, with regard to portables, are considered a withholding. Uksubas Isha, this is as opposed to the case of Ksubas Isha, she collects her Ksuba, generally speaking, mi karkohu. And therefore, the halacha is, this though is not part of the central point of our discussion, but since the Gemara mentions it, we say as follows, that if a person assigned all of his property to his sons, and he gave to his wife a piece of karka kolshu, even if it's a small amount of ground, that would constitute her payment, including her ksuba payment. She would not have any more ksuba rights. However, if he assigned to his wife not a piece of karka, but metatalin, that would not constitute a collection of her ksuba. As is explained here, as the Gemara says, ksuba equals mi karkohu, meaning the basic collection of a woman when she collects her ksuba guarantee, she collects that from landed property. Portables, with regard to things that are to be collected from land, is not considered a leave out, is not considered a withholding. Therefore, if a man had given all his property to his sons and gave his wife some article, some portable, that would not constitute her ksuba payment, and she would still be able to collect her ksuba. For our purposes, though, we want to emphasize point Aleph that has been denoted by the markings in the Gemara, namely that the Eved is categorized as metatalin. Hence, if a person assigned all his property to his Eved and withheld for himself a metatali kolshehu, the Eved would not go free, because the Eved is included by the term metatali that this man withheld. This would show us then, if we had originally raised the question, how do we categorize avodim like karka or metatalin, we see that he's categorized as metatalin. Omar le, the Rav Ashi responds and says, that is not the reason that the Eved does not go free. In the case of Shear Karka or Shear Metatali, the Tanakama ruled the slave does not go free. That is because of a technical reason, not because of his being categorized specifically as Metatalin, but rather, Anan Mishum Delav Kruskito Masninon Law. We teach this halacha of his not being freed simply because the document that would have constituted his freedom, namely this matona, this shtar that he's writing where he assigns all his property to the Eved, has in the shtar something being withheld. Namely, it's not a complete break. The halacha of Shichur Eved is learned from the halacha of Get Isha, referred to, and you can see this in the Rashbam, by Gzeros Shava, namely Law Me'isha. Just like the word law appears in the case of a divorce of a wife, the word law appears in the case of the freeing of a slave. As a result, just like in the case of freeing of a wife or the divorcing of a wife, it has to be a complete divorce without strings attached, without any conditions whereby she's not completely released and completely freed to marry another man. So too, in the case of the separation or the freeing of a slave, it must be a complete freeing whereby there's no withholding contained in the very same document that would have constituted the freeing of the slave. Therefore, in the case that the man had written as a property to the slave, but withheld some of his property, the get shichur would not be effective. And that's the term that the Gemara uses, lav kruskito. It's not considered a cutoff. Krus kares, meaning cutoff. It's not a complete severing of relationship. We see in the Gemara the markings that appear. We see a slash mark. This indicates that the following discussion is of a completely new nature. If you glance ahead in the Gemara a bit, you notice the appearance of a new geometric form, a diamond form. In our marking system, for those of you who are rather new to it, should realize that there's no inherent significance to any one geometric form. They all have the same role, and that is to create a feeling of continuity, a feeling of a series, a feeling of relationship between different points with the same form around it. We also offer an introduction and explanatory notes on the outside margin when starting a new discussion, a new sugya, or encountering a new form. In this case, we see in the outside margin the Nosei Mivneh heading. We also have written in a diamond. They are Hey or five dinim shedinon miyuchad kishenoisim kol nichseim. There are five halachas where a certain premium is placed or a change in halacha appears when everything is given over. In other words, there are cases where, and we'll see different examples, where a person gives over part of his property versus a case where he gives over all of his property. And in five areas of halacha, there's a significant difference between the two. Namely, a significance that transcends simply quantity of property. In fact, we'll see something far more significant as we go along. The Gemara continues, second line from the top of Kuf Nun Amid Beis. Omar Rava Omar Rav Nachman. Chamisha, there are five cases of giving of matana, and shichtavu kol nichsehem, that the halacha will change, will represent one thing, will represent a quantifiable giving of a gift, until that same giver would include or present the gift using the term kol, all of his property. In which areas does this difference appear? The Elohein, Shchiv Meira, deathly ill individual, Avdo, case of a slave. Ishto, something concerning his wife, one of his children. Mavrachas, the case of an attempt to cause property to be circumvented from, or we'll see, Mavrachas literally means to chase away or to withhold property from someone's receipt. Each case will be presented as we go along and is featured by the diamond mark. Shchiv Meira, the case of the Shchiv Meira is as follows. This not Shchiv Meira shekosav kol nechosav lacherim, a deathly ill individual that assigns his property to others. Case Aleph, v'shir karka kolshu matanosu kayemes, if he withholds some of his property, in the event that he gets better, the gift will stand, will remain. However, lo shir karka kolshu, if this deathly ill individual gave away everything, ein matanosu kayemes, the gift will not stand in the event that the Shchiv Meira gets better. Hence you see a clear distinction between partial versus all. Partial gift, the gift stands under all circumstances, even if he gets better. If it's all of his property, the gift will be reversed in the event that he gets better. Another case, Avdoi, Disnan. HaKosev kol nechosov li'avdo, yetze ben chorin. If a person assigns all of his property to his Eved, the Eved would thereby go free, because the Eved is included in the man's property. However, shiyer karka kolshu, if you have a gift given to the Eved that does not include all of the property, you see here the withholding of some of it, lo yetze ben chorin. Once again, a distinction between partial and all. When we say distinctions, of course, we're saying a distinction that transcends, it goes beyond the issue of quantity alone. Ishtoi, what's the case involving a wife? Diyom Rav Yudom HaShmuel, HaKosev kol nechosav l'ishto, if a person assigns all of his property to his wife, lo aso el apotropa. He's merely appointing her an executor of his estate, but not giving her anything in this particular gift. If, however, if a person would assign some of his property to his wife, that in fact would be a gift that he's giving to his wife. So that you see here, by giving less, she gets more. Namely, if she gets partial, she gets something. If he gives all of his property to her, she gets nothing. Bonov, what's the case involving sons? This not a kosev kol nechosav lebonov. A person divides out all his property to his sons because of the ishto karka kol shehu, and he writes to his wife a small piece of property of the ksubasa. He thereby causes her to lose any additional payment, namely, she does not collect her ksuba. However, if the same man would have given away all his property to his sons, given to his wife a piece of property, but withheld for himself karka kol shehu, if he would have withheld, she would not lose her ability to collect her ksuba, because we would say that kolshu of property was an opening, so to speak, for her to collect her ksuba. And just like she'll collect her ksuba from that little amount that he left over for himself, so to speak, she will be able to collect all of her ksuba. Mavrachas. The case of Mavrachas is a situation where a person does not want their property to fall into the hands of someone that ordinarily it should fall into. This would be a situation where a woman who happens to own property is marrying, let us say for example's purposes, she's entering a second marriage, and she doesn't want her new husband to get possession of her properties. So she can assign her properties to, let us say, a son that she has from a previous marriage. In the event that the second husband dies or divorces her, and she becomes an independent woman again, the woman will be able to turn to the one she assigned all of her property to and say, hey, I want my property back. What will the halacha be if she doesn't assign all of her property to that particular individual, in our example, to her son? Let us continue now in the Gemara. Mavrachas, di omamar, mavrachas tzricha shetichtoiv kol nechoseha. That in order for her to be able to lay claim on her property, after she leaves that man, the second husband in the example we presented before, she would have had to assign all of her property to her son. However, if she didn't assign all of her property to her son and she was divorced, she would not be able to turn to her son and ask for her property in return. You can see the Rashbam. We've featured a dashed underlined section of his commentary toward the end of the narrow lines. We'll read what we've dashed underlined. Tzricha shetichtov kol nechosel li'acher stam. In order for her to lay claim on the properties after she becomes independent again, she would have had to assign all of her property to that outsider in an unqualified fashion. Kemen delo shairo midi, since she left nothing for herself, anan sadi, we bear witness, delo nosna lozeh, that her whole purpose in giving it to that outsider was ela b'shvil sheroitze linosei, that she had these intentions of marrying a second husband, uch shetirtze yachzeru lo, and that when she would want, she would get it back. Avol im shairo kolshehu, if however she withheld a small amount of property, kono hamakabel matono, then that receiver would actually be able to keep what she assigned to him. V'lo yachzeru lo kol nechosam olamis, and she would not be able to recover that property ever again. Let us turn back to the Gemara in the middle of the Omid. Uvekulhu, these five halachas, mitatali havi shiur. If the person in question withheld metatalin, it would be equal to their withholding karka. Labar miksuba, with the exception of the case of ksuba, where if he assigned to his wife metatali kolshehu, that would not constitute her losing of the ksuba. And why is that? The ksuba was designed to be collected from land, not to be collected from metatalin. Hence, if she was assigned metatalin in this man's giving away of his property and assigning to her only metatalin, that would not constitute her collection of ksuba, and therefore she would still be able to collect her ksuba. Amemar omar metatali deksivi b'ksuba v'isnu b'inayu have shiur. Taking a look at the Rashbam, first we would translate. Amemar said that metatalin that are found written in the ksuba, that they were designated in the ksuba document, and they are still around, that would be considered a shiur as well. The Rashbam, in the wide lines, v'isnu binayu have shiur. Share isha goyve ksubasa mehem. Metatalin that are delineated in the ksuba document is in fact a source of collection for this woman. Kidomar amemar perek afalpi b'ksubas. As Amemar says in the fifth perek of ksubas, metatali visum binayu below shvua, that if there are metatalin and they are around, she is able to collect them without needing to take an oath. The ikol amemar de ozo amemar the tamei. And we find Amemar, who appears in Ksubas, is consistent with what he says over here as well. Once again, in our Gemara markings, you see a slash appears. This slash, as we said before, means that the ensuing Gemara will be a new discussion. Let us once again notice the geometric forms that appear in the ensuing Gemara. We see a volcano form, and this series will continue till Kuf Nun Aleph Omid Aleph, namely the next Omid as well. We introduce the role of this series marking by the introductory note in our outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. You notice the volcano marking, Sidra Shel Dvarim Shinikraim Nichsi, a list of different items that are referred to by the term nichsi. In other words, when you see the term nichsi, it could very well refer to any of these items. Nafkamina, the halachic, the legal bearing of this observation is lemi shomar nichsai nichosai leploni. If a person said, I'm granting so-and-so my nichosai, my property, will these things be included? So, as we go on in the Gemara, we will be primarily focusing on a list of items that would be included by the term nechosai. The Gemara continues. Omar, a person says, nechosai leplanya. I want my nechosim to go to so-and-so. Avdo ikri nechosi. Slaves would be included. They're referred to by the term nechsi. Disnan, ha-kosef kol nechosov le-avdoi, yetze ben-chorin. If a person assigns all of his nechosim, his slave would go free. Why is that? Because the slave is included in the nechosim. So the slave, in effect, received himself as a gift from the owner. So he thereby goes free. Ara ikri nechsi. Ground, land is called nechsi. Disnan. Nechosim sheish lamachrayas, which is a term referring to ground. Land is niknin bekesef ubishtar ubechazoka. The method of acquiring land is through these different means, through cash payment, through a document, or through an action showing ownership. Glima ikri nichsi, disnan. The Tanaic source that appears here, in effect, is a continuation of the source that was just quoted. Therefore, one should understand as if the word nechosim appears here, even though it's not printed in the Gemara, it's to be understood as if it said here nechosim, and then v'she'ein lohem achrayas, namely nechosim that are not the source of debt collection. They don't serve as a guarantee. That's what the expression ein lohem achrayas, which in other words means portables, ein niknim ela b'meshicha. Nechosim she'ein lemachrayis would mean portables, because they're referred to by the term ein lemachrayis because people that lend money don't anticipate collecting their debts from portables, because portables are here today, gone tomorrow. Nevertheless, in general, the nechosim she'ein lemachrayis are not acquired ein niknim ela b'meshicha, through the meshicha means. And the example that the Gemara cites is glima, an article of clothing. Zuzi ikri nechsi. Cash is covered by the term nechsi. Disnan. In order to bring out this point, though, it requires a few lines of Gemara, and in order to ease visually seeing how much of Gemara will be dedicated to this point, we've provided a long marking in the little space immediately to the left-hand side of the Gemara, where you see the word Zuzi is written in, and is enclosed by a volcano marking. All of these lines are designed to develop this particular point. So we say that cash is referred to by the term nechsi. Disnan. We quote the source that we saw above, and as we said above, you should understand as if the word nechosim appears here, and as follows: nechosim she'ein lohem achrayas. And we referred to that before by using the term portables. Portables are niknim im nechosim she'esh lamachrayas, can be acquired together with nechosim that are of a landed nature, namely nechosim that a lender would collect his debt from in the event that the borrower doesn't pay cash. So portables are acquired together with a kinyan made on land, bekesef ubishtar ubechazoka. The kinyan that's made on the land might be through either cash, through a document, or through an act of ownership. Ki ha derav papa, and an illustration of this principle will be seen in the following story. The main point for our discussion is that this source uses the term nechosim. It might be veiled because, as we said, it didn't appear beferish, but the word nechosim shein lamachrayas, we said, is acquired through an active kinyan made on land. And what's the example that's going to be used to illustrate this? It will be as follows, where possession of money will be gained through an act of kinyan, through an act of ownership made on a piece of land. So what do we see from here? We see that the kinyan made on nechosim sheish lamachrayas, namely the kinyan made on the land, will help to acquire the coins, which serves as the example of nechosim sheish lamachrayas. But all in all, we see that the term nechosim covers cash, covers zuzi. What we've attempted to do with our markings is employ the dashed underline to draw your attention to the key terms. Therefore, when we wrote in at the beginning of this source, nechosim, we've also dashed underlined that. And in the ensuing Gemara, we've dashed underlined the word zuzi, So we thereby are able to connect Zuzi with the word Nechasim, hence illustrating the point that's being made that Zuzi are called Nechasim. Now the story that illustrates the concept that portables are acquired through active kinyan made on land is as follows. Kiha derav papa havule tracer alfi zuzi bechozoi. Rav Papa owned 12,000 coins that were located in Bei Chozoi. Akninu nihale l'Rav Shmuel Bar Acha. He transferred ownership of those coins to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, who was in fact on his way to Bei Chozoi, and Rav Papa wanted Shmuel Bar Acha to bring him the money. Rav Papa knew very well that they, the people in Bei Chozoi, would not give the cash that was that belongs to Rav Papa to any old person. And we're not going to get into the details of halacha why they wouldn't, because one major reason here is that if they would give it to someone other than the owner and something would happen to the money, they would be held accountable. So in order for Rav Papa to be able to get his money back, he would have to assign ownership of the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, and he could present himself as to the Bei Chozoi as the owner of it. They would thereby transfer the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, and Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, being a close friend of Rav Papa, would bring it back to Rav Papa, the one who really owns the money. I say one who really owns the money because, technically speaking, Rav Shmuel Bar Acha became the owner of the money with the understanding that he would eventually transfer the money to Rav Papa when he would bring it back. So as we go on in the Gemara, we mentioned that Rav Papa had these 12,000 zuzi in Bei Chozoi, and we said that he akninu nihalei l'Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, he transferred ownership of the money to Rav Shmuel, agav asipa de beise, through the threshold of his house. Namely, Rav Papa told Rav Shmuel Bar Acha to make a kinyan on the threshold of his, of Rav Papa's house, which would in effect make Rav Shmuel Bar Acha the owner of the threshold, of the entranceway to Rav Papa's house. And at the point that he made the kinyan on that threshold, he was also acquiring the cash that was located in Bei Chozoi. Ki asa, when Rav Shmuel Bar Acha came back with the money, came back to Rav Papa, nafak li'apei atovach, Rav Papa, out of joy, ran all the way to a community, a place called Tavach, another pshat that's given by the, it's found in the Rashbam, is that it's a place that's halfway. But that pshat is not something that he particularly likes. Rather, he prefers the pshat that Tavach is the name of a place. Rav Papa ran to greet Rav Shmuel there out of joy. And we see that this whole kinyan was effective. What's important for our purposes is to note that the example, the story featured Zuzi, and was featured as a story to illustrate that which was taught in the Tanaic source, referring to nechasim sheina machrayas. And so you see the term nechasim refers to cash. The next example involves a shtar, that a shtar is also called Nechasi. In order to appreciate this example, the Gemara will spend quite a few lines in order to develop the point. We've indicated the length of this with a similar marking as we used by the Zuzi. In this case, we wrote in the space immediately to the left-hand side of the Gemara the word Shtara, with, again, the vertical dash line indicating how long this point goes, and in fact it goes to the top of Kuf Nun Aleph Amen Aleph. For our purposes, it's worth noting once again that the issue concerns a shtar, and later in the source, the transaction that is described here involving the shtar will be governed or covered by the Tanaic source that uses the word nechosim. This we've done by dashed underlining on the top of Kuf Nun Aleph Omen Aleph, third line from the top and the end of the line, the word nechosim. And as we mentioned before, this is the focus of our discussion, making the association between the word shtar and the word nechosim. It's also worth noting that as this Gemara opens up with the shtar case, we will be introduced to several halachas that concern shtoros, concern transactions involving a shtar. The first two of the examples are not relevant to the heart of our discussion. So as we emphasize time and time again through the study of Gemara, through the marking system, it's important to prioritize the material being learned. And therefore, we're trying to say that the focus of our attention will be placed primarily on case 3. The Gemara continues. Shtara ikri nichsi. Shtar is also referred to by the term nichsi. The Omar Rabo bar Yitzchok, shnei shtoros hein. Rabo tells you that there are two halachas. There are many, many more halachas, but we're going to feature two halachas concerning shtar. Omar, a person says, Zichu besode ze leploni. Person through a kinyan sudar, through the exchange of a handkerchief, draws someone's handkerchief and says, the presenter of the handkerchief says to the one drawing the handkerchief, says, while when you draw this handkerchief, have in mind that you are acquiring on behalf of so-and-so a piece of land. V'kisfu lo esashtar. And as you draw the handkerchief, I also want to tell you that I would like you to prepare for so-and-so that you're receiving land on his behalf. I would like you to prepare for him a title of ownership in writing, a shtar. Choser b'shtar ve'eno choser b'sodeh. The giver of the land, the original owner of the land, can back out of the shtar request. However, he cannot back out of the transferal of the land. The reason for that is that at the moment that the receiver or that the intermediary receives the handkerchief on behalf of the third party, at that point the ownership is clinched and it becomes the third party's. The giver cannot back out. A second scenario, though, might be where the giver says the same opening that he says, Zechu besode ze leploni, but he uses the following term. This is example 2. Almenas shetichtevu lo esashtar. Accept the land on behalf of so-and-so on condition that you also prepare for him a title of ownership in writing. Then the halacha is different. Choser bein b'shtar bein besode. The giver can back out of the title request and the gift itself. Since he made the gift dependent on the shtar, so until the shtar is actually prepared, the giver can back out. There's a third halacha concerning shtar. Tre hanida moron. Two, we've already mentioned. We've numbered them off already. 1 and 2. Idoch, the third halacha is im kidam mocher, the kosav es hashtar. If a seller of land wrote a shtar mechira to be prepared ahead of time for the purchaser, and they could be used at any time he should decide. Such a preparation is able to be done, ke'oise shishoninu, as is taught elsewhere. Koisfin shtar lemocher, v'yafapi she'ein lokeach imo. A shtar can be presented, can be prepared for a seller, even though the purchaser is not currently around. When eventually the receiver of the ground, of the land, takes possession of the ground, nikne shtar kol mokoim shehu. That shtar that was prepared earlier becomes his, wherever it may be at that point. Vizuhi shishoninu. This is an illustration of the principle that was taught and we saw earlier, the chosim she'ein lohem achrayas, portables. The example in this case being the shtar, niknim in hanachosim she'esh lohem achrayas, are acquired together with land, as we saw in this particular case, this halacha, this third halacha, where we said that once the chazaka is made on the ground, once the act of ownership is made on the ground, he thereby acquires together with that the shtar, the portable. And the source concludes by saying that it's acquired through the nechosim shesh machrayas bekesev ubishar bechazaka. Those are the different methods that one uses in order to acquire the land, namely through cash payment or through a kinyan shtar or through a chazaka, an act of ownership. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.